us open up our ancient word to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. For some of you, when you heard Psalm 119, certain things came to mind. I wonder what those are. But we're going to look at the first eight verses of Psalm 119. And these eight verses fall under the Hebrew alphabet letter Aleph, which is the Hebrew A, Aleph. Some of your Bibles will have Aleph right above those eight verses. And you might even have a symbol. It looks like an X. That is the first letter in the Hebrew alphabet, at least of the old Hebrew language. Just before I read it, I just want to say, for those that are visiting, we have been studying the Ten Commandments, and we have already completed looking at the first four, which is in regards to how we relate to God. The last six are in regards to how we relate to one another, which was the way Jesus summed it up. When they asked him what was the greatest commandment, he said to love the Lord your God. That's the first part, with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. And so he summed it up perfectly using Deuteronomy chapter 6, using his word to sum it up. But what I'd like to do, what I did last Sunday and this Sunday, is kind of in between break before we go to the Advent sermons and the Thanksgiving sermons. We'll pick back up the Ten Commandments in the new year. But I want to encourage you in regards to God's word, God's commands, God's statutes, God's testimonies, his precepts. So let's look at the first eight verses of Psalm 119. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimony, who seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. You have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Then I would not be ashamed. When I look into all your commandments, I will praise you with uprightness of heart. When I learn your righteous judgments, I will keep your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me utterly. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you would help us on this journey through Psalm 119 as we study the first eight verses of your magnificent word. Help us to see how beautiful it is, what a sweet gift it is, your commands, your statutes, your precepts, your testimonies, your law, your holy word. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Spring of 1993, I met Linda for the first time at Covenant College. Didn't impress her too much with how I responded to our interaction. But I had a do-over the summer of 1993. Linda came to Ridgehaven to work as a counselor, and I happened to be working that summer as well. Got to know her well. It was a sweet benefit to me that my relationship with Linda started in the context of ministry. Encourage you young men and young women, boys and girls, that as you one day find somebody you like, I hope that you will find opportunities to minister together. You tell a lot about a person as they minister, and hopefully it's true ministry, true gospel ministry. So I got to know her and enjoyed that summer. And we enjoyed a great friendship from 1993 to 1997. 4 years it took me to win her heart. 4 years before she said yes to my proposal to get married. And it was a long and awesome journey. And we love to talk to others about it. If you're ever bored, you want to hear about our relationship and what the Lord taught us, we love to talk about that, especially with young men and young women who are developing a dating philosophy that I hope they would want it to please the Lord. It was a long, sweet journey. My hope is that you'll see Psalm 119 like that, but greater. When you think of Psalm 119, you think of the longest chapter in the Bible. 176 verses. It was January of 1990 that I flew out to Las Vegas, Nevada. I always called it Nevada, but the people out there say it's Nevada, and I don't think that sounds great, but that's what they do. And I went out there to get a job and to work so I could pay for college. And I was fortunate to have a sister that lived out there with a brother-in-law that had a lot of connections and always invited me to come out and earn some money out there. I didn't earn it in the casinos, okay? I valet parked cars, I installed telephone systems, I worked at a sports club. That's what I did from January of 1990 to the late part of the summer. So about 7 months, 7 to 8 months. When I flew out there, it took 6 hours. Flew out there in 6 hours. But I had the task to drive back a U-Haul, the biggest U-Haul you have. I'm 18 years old, with a Mercedes on a lifted trailer, to drive it all the way back from Las Vegas to Brevard, North Carolina, at the end of my time out there. That was some big time growing up for me. My brother-in-law asked me and my brother John to drive it. They flew John out, and we were about 11 months apart, and 18, 19-year-old boys drive this U-Haul across the country. I know that ain't nothing to you farmers. You've driven everything. Well, it's something to me, okay? It took 35 to 40 hours to drive. These little boys driving a vehicle that far. It was a long journey, but it was different. The long journey was different than the short journey I had out there. I saw all kinds of things. I saw Arizona that looked like a moon, the craters and all the stuff, and I saw Oklahoma. Wasn't too impressed with Arkansas, just trees. But I drove through all this different landscape, and I remember coming back to Brevard and seeing all the trees and the greenery of the mountains, and I had been out in the desert for so long that I was just blown away by how much green there was in Brevard. But it was a ride that I like to talk about because it was different than the flight. I don't talk much about the flight. I talk a lot about that long drive. And that's how the Psalms are. Sometimes they're just a quick little, like Psalm 117, praise the Lord. Exalt Him, or praise the Lord, you Gentiles. And sometimes they're long. But don't get lost in the fact that they're long, because there's beauty and precision and purpose in its length. It's the word of the Lord. I hope you noticed, that I said we're going to read under the first Hebrew alphabet. There's 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. I can sing it for you. Aleph, Beit, Gimel, Dalet, Hey, Vav, and Zion, Chet, Tet, and Yod, and Kof, you see that I am trying. Lam, and Mem, Nun, Samech, and there is the I in. Da 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 da. I need to refresh my mind in it. There are the 22 letters in that chapter. They're in there. You go using Aleph, and you'll say Beth, but that's not the right way. It's Beit, Gimel. So you notice my title is Aleph, Beit, Gimel, Dalet. We're just looking at Aleph. But I wanted you to see the beauty of that. You say, well, what's the beauty of starting 8 verses with an alphabetical letter? What's so pretty about that, David? Well, because in the Hebrew Bible that reads right to left, you will see that symbol in those 8 verses start each sentence. It starts with the A, Aleph. Every phrase will start with the word, will start with Aleph. All the way through. You go to Beit, all the way to those verses, all those phrases that have been separated for you, start with Beit. Right to left, that's how they read. Gimel, Dalet, all the way through the alphabet. God's wanting us to see that what He speaks about in this text, from the Hebrew A to the Hebrew Z, glories in the Word of God. Each stanza perfectly have 8 phrases, eight verses in a sense. There's 22 alphabets. 8 times 22 is 176. They all start with that word, and we don't have that in our translation, do we? You just have a reminder, hey, we have the translated word from the original Hebrew text. There's something else special about Psalm 119. It talks about God's Word and how awesome God's Word is. And it uses a bunch of different words to speak of God's Word. I'll use the top eight. The law, you see in verse 1, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law. That word, the Hebrew word, is Torah. And it appears 25 times in Psalm 119. And what it means is not just Moses' law, it means all the revelation of the Lord. All that is taught. Okay? So when we say, oh Lord, who walks in your law, we're not just saying who walks in the Ten Commandments. That's important. It's saying who walks in all your precepts. Who walks, who sees you as the teacher and sees themselves as the pupil. The next one that occurs the most, and I appreciate y'all bearing with me on this, but I want you to understand it because as you read through it, as we go through it, we're not going to go through it quickly, but whenever I have a chance to preach a sermon, I put one in there. We're going to come back to Psalm 119, and I'm going to preach through the alphabet of Psalm 119. But the next one that shows up a lot is the word, word, dabar. It appears 24 times. And that word is God's spoken, revealed word. So you've got His law, which is everything He teaches, and then you have His word, dabar. 24, the Hebrew word dabar, which means all that He's revealed. You also have the judgment. You'll see the word judgment show up in verse 7. I will praise you with uprightness of heart when I learn your righteous judgments. Again, speaking of God's word, but a different word. It appears 23 times in Psalm 119. And it's concerning our deeds and how they compare to a holy God. Rules by which things are measured. When it speaks of rules that are the standard of how we're to be measured. You see, again, the fourth of the eight testimonies. You see a testimony show up in verse 2. Blessed are those who keep His testimonies. And that word is Edah. And it appears 23 times. And that is who obey His testimonies. Loyalty to the covenant. Now we know that God's a covenantal God. We especially know that in the PCA Reformed Church. That God is covenantal. And when it says testimonies, it's talking about the covenantal agreements that God has instituted for the covenant. Just a few more. For the sake of time, I won't go through all of them. But number 5, commandments. You'll see commandments show up in verse 8. Then I would not be ashamed when I look into all your commandments. And that word Hebrew is mezra. And it's straight authority of what is said. It's saying that the authoritative words of the Lord. That's really important because all of Psalm 119 is not man's law. It's not something we conjured up. It is straight from Yahweh. And you'll see that over and over. The word you is referred to so many times in Psalm 119. And that word is speaking of Yahweh. Yahweh. God's word. He is the authority. You remember raising kids, some of you are raising them right now, and you say, hey, I need you to go do this. Why are you going to do it? Because I said, that's what I want you to do. We as parents have an authority, right? We have an authority in raising our children. But there's no authority greater than God's. William Wilberforce, who led the British abolition of slavery, memorized Psalm 119 as he walked from Parliament home to Hyde Park each day. He recited the psalm to himself. That's what he would do with those 176 verses. He memorized it. So here's my challenge to y'all as we study this from time to time. Whenever we study one of the alphabetical eight verses, I want you to memorize it. All right, I can't command you. I encourage you to memorize the scripture. It's going to be a while before I come back to 119, so start working on those eight verses. And let me just tell you about scripture memory. Linda's had a scripture memory program part of her whole life. We did apply it to Westminster when we were there, Mount Calvary did it as well. And you'd learn 100 verses in a year, and you have to recite them, and then you have to come back and recite them a second time. Can you imagine that? You recite all 100 verses in maybe two sittings, and then you've got to come back at the end and recite them all again. And that was how our kids at those other churches would earn scholarships to go to camp. They could earn up to $150 by learning 100 verses to go to camp. But it was tough. I'm not asking you to do that. I'm just asking you to learn it, to memorize it. It'll be a blessing to you. And you'll see why as we look at these 8 verses. So let's look at them. I'm aware of the time. Now I am. It says, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep His testimonies, who seek Him with the whole heart. If I were to tell you, hey, you want to be happy, I'm not talking about worldly happy. I'm saying, do you want to truly be satisfied? Do you want to truly have joy in your life? I've got the key. You would say, woo. What can make me happy? Don't we seek that? Don't we try to do it such, I mean, I don't know if there's a case down here, I'm sure it is for some, but we try to set up everything perfect for our kids so they'll be happy. Well, this is not what this blessedness is talking about here when it talks about happiness. It's not talking about happiness because we get all that we want. It's saying that this contentment, this joy, is found in what? Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Happiness comes from walking in the way of the Lord. Now, I bet you if I did, I won't do this, if I had you stand up, if God's Word has brought you happiness in the most hard and difficult moments in your life, there'd be a lot of our brothers and sisters who would stand up and say, I can attest to that. I bet you if I told you that if I said, stand up, if God's Word has brought you contentment and satisfaction in the most lonely moments of your life, maybe a loss of a loved one, or maybe in loneliness of rejection, or whatever it might be, there would be many who would stand up and say, I bear testimony of that. Some to the point of tears. And the psalmist is bearing, we're not sure who wrote this, if it was King David. Some believe it was King David that he wrote over the period of his whole life. Some believe that we're not sure that it was David. Some believe that this is how David taught his children the alphabet, the Hebrew alphabet. I don't know. We don't know. But what God wanted us to know is what the psalmist wrote, not who wrote it. Because we know it is the word of the Lord. He says, blessed are those undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the land. Lord, that is the happiness, who walk in the way. Blessed are those who keep His testimonies. Speaking of that covenantal word for His word. Who seeks Him with their whole heart. You know, the first psalm of chapter 1 says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But what? His delight is in the law of the Lord, and on His law he meditates day and night. Not blessed is the one who walks in the counsel of man or woman. Not blessed is the one who does what everybody else does or what seems to be easier. It says, blessed is the one, happy is the one who hears what the Lord says and delights in it. 9th grade, Brevard High School, Julie Dawkins, prettiest girl at the school. She was a senior, I was a freshman. Nobody cared who I was, I just moved there. But Julie Dawkins was beautiful. Probably still is. And here's this little 9th grade in his little sad outfit, because I didn't dress well. Sad little outfit going in there. Nobody wants to be my friend. And I open the door for Julie Dawkins. And she looks at me, and she smiles, her pretty smile. And she says, thank you. I coasted for about 2 months. Her words were so precious to me as a lonely boy who nobody cared exist. The fact that she made eye contact with me, I remember talking to John as we were raking out in the yard of the mountains. Julie Dawkins smiled at me and said, thank you, John. Put that in your book. We know what it means to treasure someone's words. We know what it means. I remember mine and her relationship was mostly long distance. We didn't have cell phones. If you called, you paid. You paid for it all. And I remember just hearing her voice and hearing what she had to say, and whether it was a letter or a phone call, and I treasured that. And hopefully she treasured mine. But the psalmist here says in Psalm 1, and Psalm 119 is an exposition of Psalm 1. It's breaking Psalm 1 down beautifully for us, and that's why it needs to not be, oh, I sure hope he doesn't preach all of Psalm 119. Oh, we'll get tired of that. That kind of ho-hum view of long. It's a beautiful thing. One theologian says it's like a kaleidoscope. Kids, y'all probably don't know what a kaleidoscope is. But back in our day, that was about as high-tech as you could get. And it was a little, looked like a pirate's little view thing. And you would just kind of click it. And each time you would click it, something beautiful showed itself. A whole different design. A different pattern. Let me see if I can write what I said about that. Oh, here it is. This was by Charles Spurgeon. He said, talk about Psalm 119. The wonderful psalm variety that's found in Psalm 119 is that of a kaleidoscope. You look once and there's a strangely beautiful form. You shift the glass a little, very little, and another shape equally delicate and beautiful is before your eyes. And that's how Martin Luther speaks about Psalm 119. He said he wouldn't trade a page of Psalm 119 for all the treasures of the world. So the first point is that we are to delight in God's Word. Blessed, happy, joyful is the one who walks in the way of the undefiled, who walks in the law of the Lord. Happy, joyful, delightful is the one who keeps His testimony, who seeks Him with his whole heart. God is saying, hey, you want to know how to be happy? My Word. There'd be people who would stand up as well to attest how God's Word has delivered them from the depths of depression and discouragement. There's some in our church that struggles, a real struggle, and it comes back, and it comes back, and it comes back, and it comes back. And many of those people would say, let me tell you what God's Word has done for me. Didn't happen quickly, but let me tell you. Do you know that if you look at the Dalit, it looks like Dalit, but the D of the Hebrew alphabet, that whole text fits under the term of depression. Oh, my soul clings to dust. But your word sets my heart free. We need to delight in God's word. We're to be devoted to His word. Blessed are those who keep His testimonies, who seek Him with the whole heart. There also do no iniquity. There's a devotion there. There's a delighting and there's a devotion to God's Word. And saying, blessed and happy are the ones who delight in God's Word. Blessed and happy are those who are devoted to His Word. Now, what y'all are probably doing is, okay, David's laid it on thick again. I'm going to have to obey God's commands perfectly. Blah, 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 blah. That's how I feel every time we look at a commandment. Read the psalm. Read the psalm and you'll not see that. We'll hit this just briefly in a moment. But read the psalm all throughout. You see a psalmist who speaks of his enemies. He speaks of depression. He speaks of how he's frustrated with the fact that he doesn't obey the commands. For the believer who knows Christ Jesus, the believer who's been saved from their sins, they know that there's happiness found in the law, not because the law saves them, but because the law brings happiness and joy to them. I'll tell you something. My parents taught us God's commands and His way and His standard. And when we'd step out of line, they'd lovingly discipline us. And I think every time they did, even though I hated my dad's spankings and I hated my mom's spanking, every time that they instructed me in the word of the Lord, there was a joy that came over me. That my parents cared for me and wanted to instruct me in the scriptures rather than just say, you do whatever you want to do, David. It's your prerogative. They said, let me tell you what God wants you to do. Let me tell you how He wants, because it led to my salvation. It led to me being right with my mom and dad. I never felt joy when I was rebelling against mom and dad and disobeying them and hunkered down on my will and not their will. I never experienced joy and happiness, even though I was doing what I wanted to do. I felt the weight of my sin and the misery of my sin. I felt brokenness with my relationship with my parents. And it wasn't until the Lord, when the Lord moved me to those repentant moments where I really experienced His joy. See, God says, this is my way. This will bring you happiness. This will bring you joy. The world tells you to pursue money. The world tells you to pursue pleasure. The world tells you to pursue easy. The world tells you to pursue whatever the popular crowd's pursuing. But it says your word is a delight, and I'm devoted to it, Father. With your help, I'm devoted to it. You see the psalmist, I'm moving quickly, we see the psalmist get very honest with us in verse 4. He says, you have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Look at the exclamation mark in your translation. You have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. Oh, help that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. God, I'm not doing that. Help me to be directed by your law. You see the psalmist, and you'll see this all throughout the scripture. We won't have time to go through it this morning, but you'll see it all throughout Psalm 119. You see this psalmist who delights in God's word. He's devoted to God's word, and then you see him move to repentance in God's word, delivered by God's word. You see this honesty. The psalmist was a godly man, yet he admits here that the Lord had not yet become he has not become steadfast in keeping the statutes of the Lord. See, godliness does not, for us here on this earth, on this side of heaven, does not mean you never do wrong and you always do right. That's not what it means, but it means your bent is what does God's law say. The beautiful thing about what we're going to do in the congregational meeting when we elect elders, ruling elders, to serve and shepherd our sheep, and I hope you pray that we do it well. It is hard. It is hard to do it well. You get to elect them. All five of them have, at least in my interactions with them, have bore testimony by example and by word that they're submitted to the Scriptures. And they're not perfect. Y'all could give us a list of why they're not perfect. How they failed you here, or where we should have done this and should have done that. But these men are subject to God's word. And he petitions the Lord. He says, oh, that my ways were directed to you. Keep your statutes. Then I would not be ashamed when I look into your commandments. He's calling out, Lord, help me. Help me to keep your statutes, because I know in them is my delight. In them is my joy. In them is my happiness. See, we can't overcome these sinful habits by ourselves. We can sin pretty freely. We're good at freely sinning. But we can't overcome it in ourselves. And that's why we do have to call upon the Lord. Oh, help me. I've shared with y'all before. I'll share with you again. When my kids have modeled that, when my kids have modeled repentance, there's no greater joy for a parent. Not, I'm sorry because I got caught. But, oh, I hate that I did that. I hate that I disobeyed you. You told me not to do that, and I immediately did it. And it grieves me that I keep doing that. That is a mighty work of the Holy Spirit when they do that. Kids, isn't it hard to do that? Isn't it hard to look at your mom and dad and say, I was wrong, I'm so sorry. I hate that I did that. I hate that I've taken all that you've invested in me, all that you've shown to love me, all the time and energy and effort to raise me, and I said, I don't care what you have to say. It's an awesome thing when God moves us to repentance in that area. And you know what's amazing? It's even more greater when he does that in regards to Christ. See, salvation is not just about believing in Jesus. All right, I believe him. Okay, I got my ticket in heaven. Believing is saying, oh, God, help me. Christ, help me to walk in your statutes. Help me to be a man and a woman of repentance. If any of my kids say anything about me one day when I'm gone, I hope that they would say that he modeled repentance to me. Oh, that I would. And then the last part of it, in conclusion, is look at what happens. We've got the delight, the devotion, the difference that it makes, God's word makes, and then you have the display of God's word. And look how it's displayed in verse 7. I will praise you with uprightness of heart when I learn your righteous judgments. I will keep your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me utterly. What did it turn into? It turned into two things. Again, it turned into the praise of God, His worship. That should be the driving force of why you come here every Sunday. Not to check a list or to make yourself look a certain way for whatever purpose you have. Your main purpose to come here every Sunday and to gather with the people of the Lord here whenever He moves you to gather is because you have been saved from breaking these commandments. You cannot help yourself, but He has helped you through Christ Jesus. He has transformed you through the work of the gospel. He has done the miracle in you that you bear testimony of. He says, I can't praise you right unless I have your word. I will praise you with uprightness of heart when I learn of your righteous judgments. He's saying, you've saved me, but I can't worship you the way I'm supposed to worship you without your truth and without your word. That is why wherever you worship, this better be prevalent. They better be teaching you from God's word. Y'all don't see me use this much because my eyes aren't great and I have to be able to read it. So I print out the word of God so I can see it clearly. But I'm preaching from God's word, not David's word, hopefully. Y'all pray this for me. I'm preaching from God's word. He said, I'll praise you. I'll extol you. See, all things, this will be my conclusion. All throughout Psalm 119, you will find that His word, His statutes, His commandments, His law, His precepts, all the words that are used so many times throughout this long chapter in the Bible, you will find in all those things, it's linked to God. It's linked to Yahweh. You'll find you, O Lord, you, God, your commandments is always linked and pointed to Him. And it is, when the psalmist wrote this, it was just the Old Testament with the New Covenant. We've got more of God's Scripture, and we have more of God's revelations, and more of His understanding. And the beautiful aspect of when Jesus came onto the scene, and John Baptist is preparing the way, he says, the Word was with God, the Word was God, the Word made all things, the Word came and dwelt among us. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He's pointing to Jesus. You see, the only way that we can have true happiness and delight in the law and the testimonies, in the commandments of the Lord, the only way we can have true delight is through the one who perfectly obeyed them. Who came to this earth and perfectly obeyed all the laws and statutes and covenants and commandments and all the precepts of the Lord. And He says, I will die on the cross for their rebellion and sin. Doesn't that just move you to say, oh, how beautiful God's word is, that it would lead me to Christ. It would lead me to the only hope in this world with my fallen, sinful self. It would lead me to Christ. You see, if you go with Christ is undefiled in the way. Christ walked in the law. Christ kept His testimonies with His whole heart. Christ did no iniquity. Christ walked in Yahweh's way. Christ kept His precepts. Christ kept His statutes. It is Christ that has made us, like the psalmist says, oh, do not forsake me utterly. It was Christ who said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Jesus Christ is the living Word of God. And when you study 119 and when you memorize A, if you decide to do it this month or so, as you got a whole all the way to the end of the year to memorize it. Those eight verses, you can just repeat them at devotion time every time. As you memorize God's word, I hope you think Christ. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray that we would delight in it, be devoted to it, that it would impact us and there'd be a difference that it would make in our life so that we could display your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're going to close with a song my mom sang.